we're back. If you've made it this far, you're interested in my album, which I appreciate. And you have notes.
Yes, I do.
I'm going to let you, you know, run this one because it's my album. I, you know, aside from some stories here and there, I don't know what to say about it.
All right. Forgotten Friend, a 2022 release from John H. Maloney.
Mm-hmm.
Features John H. Maloney on vocals and ukulele. Ukulele.
And that's it. Just that. Nothing else on the record. Aside from the occasional noise, which I'm surprised you didn't pick up on.
You know, the setting up the album thing, it's really not that hard. I don't understand why you'd have a problem with it, John.
Well, okay, just to explain how I recorded it, I tuned up, I opened Audacity, positioned my mic, hit record, and kept playing till I got a good enough take. That's how I made the album. So whatever sound happened, the next to last song, Memento Mori, my nail hits the uke. Toward the end, in the last verse of the first track, Pieces, there's a weird squeaking sound. I don't know if it's something in my voice. The gap between my teeth causes the S's to squeak occasionally. Huh. Could have been a dog or a bird outside. I don't know. I'm really glad to hear you didn't notice it.
Nah. I only picked up on something weird in the first track, Pieces. Uh-huh. About 45 seconds in.
Okay.
Where there's some sort of vocal thing that you're doing. I'm not sure if it was intentional or not.
What's the line?
Oh, man. I don't know the exact line. It was.
That's the only way I'm going to know. I don't know 45 seconds in.
Oh, well. But I could definitely hear some Bob Mould in this one.
Interesting. That's surprising. I mean, flattering because I love Bob, but huh.
I definitely hear his influence on this one.
Okay.
And I mean, the tone is a good opening track, of course.
I open up with a rock song because nobody expects a rock song on a ukulele album.
It just makes sense, though, to bring it up with that. And the second track, Forgotten Friend, which I think this sums up the whole theme of the album, just that the wistfulness, the tinge of hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really what you're going for. And at first I was sitting here thinking, is this, you know, Forgotten Friend, you're thinking it's going to be about some external relationship, but yeah, we quickly realize it's an internal one.
Yeah. Good story about this one.
Oh yeah.
Bit of a theory nerd thing. I just brought up the 45 second mark of Pieces. I don't hear anything weird, but maybe, like I said, occasionally on an S, particularly when I sing, the gap in my teeth, between my teeth causes a bit of a whistle, so maybe that was it.
All right.
Funny story about Forgotten Friend. The whole origin of the tune came from looking at my YouTube recommendations, seeing a video from Adam Neely, who's a bassist and music theory educator on YouTube, about using ninth chords instead of seventh chords. This was immediately after rolling out of bed. I pick up my uke, I play an A major 7 and an A add 9. It's like, huh, they do have similar vibes, I think, but I do prefer the add 9. And I just started strumming it, and it was just like, okay, what do I hear next? I went to an F, and that was the whole intro. And then I'm strumming through the chords, and one of my go-tos when I'm just kind of stumbling through a melody without lyrics, trying to come up with something, is I don't know what to do because I don't know what to say, you know. And it just, my brain completed the rhyme to I don't know what to do when it comes to, comes to facing you. That's it.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, that's something. Who am I talking to? Because this was the only lyric I had at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I needed a restroom break. So I go open my bathroom door, look at myself in the mirror. Oh, fuck, that's it. And then it's, and I think I actually went straight back to my computer. I see my old ... friend. I needed a three-syllable word there I didn't quite have yet. In the mirror once again, eventually filled in forgotten, and I was off.
Damn, yeah.
So an Adam Neely theory video about, you know, ninth chords, and, you know, a line that I just always uses a placeholder that I just happened to rhyme, and seeing myself in my bathroom mirror led to that song.
It's interesting how it comes together, you know. I mean, I've dabbled in poetry in the past, but of course have never thought of writing music to go with something. But to just bring the two together in this act.
And oh, just to go back to Pieces real quick, just in terms of subject matter, because it's the one song that isn't really obvious in terms of what it's about. And I kind of like that. It can be applied to a lot of things. But in my case, I was writing about coming to terms with my emotions, which is a thing I've been dealing with in therapy.
I thought that's largely the theme.
You picked
the,
up on that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, because you put it in the theme of the album.
Well, there was no intentional theme of the album. It's just what I happened to write about.
It's coming to terms with so much.
Yeah. And emotions are a thing I get went back to a couple of times because that's just what I've been working on. So there was no intentional theme. Anyway, continue.
Okay. Well, beneath the surface.
Speaking of which.
Right.
That's the thesis of the song.
I like that you've changed the perspective because, I mean, everything else is in the first person. And this one you bring into the second.
Again, not intentional. It's just how it came out. Forgotten Friend. Back to that for a minute. I demoed it, but a very rough demo. I have this thing where I can't tell if I like a song while I'm playing it. I have to hear it, like, recorded to decide if I like it. I was doing a very rough demo, either right after I finished writing it, or I think I may have still been working on the last verse. And what struck me when I heard it was how much it reminded me of Prince.
Huh.
I hear a strong Prince influence there. I don't know if anybody else is ever going to pick up on that.
I don't know if I did.
But I mean, obviously growing up in the 80s, I heard a ton of Prince's music. I like it enough, well enough, but I never thought he influenced me. Apparently he did. With this one, again, listening to it, the finished version. Oh, I'm you know, scattered here because I'm talking about my own album and it's weird. the obvious thing, I mentioned that I had obviously ripped something off. Sorry, I hit my mic again. In going into the chorus of Pieces, I went from an A to an F, same chords as the pre-chorus of Sultans of Swing. They don't give a damn about any trumpet playing band. The melody there is even kind of similar. I totally ripped off Sultans of Swing. Didn't realize it until I recorded and listened back to the album version.
Well, right. I mean, you can only pick up on so many...
But that one is so obvious. Like, the Prince influence, I might be the only one who ever thinks it sounds like Prince.
I'll have to listen for both of those things again.
Beneath the Surface, to me, kind of sounds like something Barry Gibb would have written.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I like a lot of the pre-Saturday Night Fever VG stuff, so, you know.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
It sounds a bit like a VG song to me.
That you don't know...
Well, just musically, it's kind of got his vibe.
I'm trying to remember the name of the song. You don't know what it's like.
Oh yeah, to love somebody. Yeah, it's got a bit of that vibe to it. Yeah. Next is
Used to Be.
The last one written for it. I wrote it during the first 2 weeks of July during our break when I was very very sick with a cold.
I could really see this one with like a bigger production.
There was something that really struck me on this album when I listened back, you know, those surprising influences. Used to Be and Forgotten Friend, both very R&B influenced.
Yeah.
Which, is, again, I love R&B, never thought it influenced me.
I think it's definitely your best melody on the album.
Thank you.
It's not my pick for strongest, but it's...
It's one of my favorites along with the title track. Again, wrote it while I had a cold, couldn't really sing it, ended up writing it a bit above my comfort zone. So it's probably the highest I'm singing on the album.
And brings us to Brain Fog Blues.
Well, real quick, Used to Be, it's about basically avoiding your present situation by running away into nostalgia.
Right.
Which I have a very definite tendency to do.
I think a lot of people do, you know. Yeah. I think it's... finding comfort in things that have happened.
And Beneath the Surface is about just dealing with your own emotions, getting them out to be, you know, to get past things. Brain Fog Blues, about ADHD, which I have.
I think it's incredibly relatable, though, this one.
It's interesting. Maybe I have ADHD.
Oh, I might. Yeah, who knows? You know, one of the things, you know, is never finding the answers, just kind of, you know, and rolling with whatever comes along. But still, you know, you get into these, you know, your train of thought gets robbed, or you just wind up thinking about something else random at the time.
Or go into a rabbit hole for days.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Hyperfocus is a thing.
Right.
And it's a blues song in a lot of ways. Melodically, it's very conventional blues.
Yeah.
Musically, it's a little weird. I spend a large percentage of the verse on a diminished chord. I'm glad it didn't, like, weird you out in that sense. It didn't feel unusually dissonant.
No.
That's good.
Not at all. It made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're playing blues on a ukulele.
Yeah. And I'm glad it connected with you. Even though you haven't been diagnosed with those ADHD, because maybe that means its appeal goes a bit beyond people with ADHD, which would be good.
Well, there's always a spectrum,
you know? Yeah, true.
I think everybody has some more, some less.
Maybe. On to the next one.
And it runs perfectly into the next track, which I'm picking as my strongest.
Oh, okay.
It's right where it belongs, exactly, because I started taking notes just to, like, for album placement, and I was like, it used to be to Brain Fog Blues to this and is the climax of the album.
A little bit behind the scenes, on Saturday night after I finished recording, I recorded the last two songs, not the last two songs on the album, but Used to Be and actually the last song on the album were recorded back to back on Saturday. After I finished, I put them all on YouTube, and I messaged you to, you know, let me know what you think of the track order. Very shortly after I messaged you, I decided to change it. I had Used to Be right in front of Memento Mori, and this is the one we're talking about now, your favorite, right? Memento Mori, to kind of ramp up, because Memento Mori is by far the fastest on the album.
Right.
And it just didn't feel right, and then I was thinking about what you always say about peaks and valleys, and I moved... Used to Be to before Brain Fog Blues.
Oh, and totally. This is just the climax. This is...
Yeah, it's meant to be, even lyrically, which is why it's in the position it is, because of where the lyrics end up.
It is easily your strongest lyrics on the album, too.
It's about the realization that cured my midlife crisis. If you listened to Zombie Takeout and you heard our review, Lucky, you know this. I had a midlife crisis for most of my 40s. My therapist in August, September 2018, in an early session, told me that a midlife crisis is caused when you go from looking at your age as time since birth to looking at it as time until death.
Wow.
And then sometime last year, I don't remember exactly when, but I know it was when I was stuck in bed. Last year, I was stuck in bed for 6 months with a medical issue. And I know it was during that time, because I remember being on the phone, you know, talking to my therapist on my phone, and suddenly asking her, have you ever seen Donnie Darko? Because something I had been talking about in that session connected. And I said, a jet engine can fall through a hole in time into my room, and I won't get the giant rabbit. In other words, there is no time until death. You never know when you're going to go.
Right.
So live while you can. And that's what the song is about.
It's definitely a single here, you know? Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of middle of the pack, maybe just because it's one, another interesting story. I wrote that music and that first chorus last fall. And I had another set of lyrics for the verse about just kind of looking through the back of your mind, kind of cheesy, you know, cliche stuff.
Right.
And then I had that chorus, but I know how the story goes, how and when the curtain will close, no one knows. I'd written that with this other song about looking through the back of my mind. Hated the verses on that song, but I loved that chorus and I liked the music, so I kept it. And it was when I wrote Forgotten Friend last April that I decided I wanted to make an album. And that's when I rehashed this bit of music I had from this other, you know, abandoned song and just wrote about fixing my midlife crisis.
It is interesting how things just can pop
mm-hmm.
into place
yeah.
and be pieced together.
This one to me sounds very George Harrison.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why you like it so much, yeah.
And, you know, of course, he's perfect for ukulele.
He was a ukulele.
The grand champion of...
Again, have a lot of respect for Harrison. He was a brilliant songwriter. Didn't realize he'd influenced me.
Famously, you would have... I think he would always travel with two of them. And someone was like, why do you have two ukuleles? He's like, well, because you never know when, you know, you need to really...
I laughed because of a David Lee Roth video that I referenced last week. Always travel with two. That way if a conversation breaks out, I don't have to be involved.
Yeah.
And finally.
Finally, words cannot express. Your strongest vocal, because you're free of lyrics.
I think I was punching above my weight on this one. It's a scattered vocal. There are no lyrics.
Yeah, right.
This one and Beneath the Surface I wrote last fall. Everything else except for the music and first chorus of Memento Mori I wrote last fall. Everything else I wrote after Forgotten Friend last April when I decided to make an album. So I kind of had a much slower version of this that I was kind of singing through. It was in 3 or 6. And I intended to write lyrics, but as I developed, I'm like, now this is an instrumental. This doesn't have lyrics. This doesn't need lyrics.
But and, you know, so many episodes we've done of this where I'm like, you know what? Why didn't they just fucking do an instrumental? And here, you did it.
And as I was developing it as an instrumental, I'm like, well, it doesn't fit ukulele. It's not a ukulele instrumental. It's if I was a horn player or had access to one, that would be perfect for this. That melody's perfect for trumpet.
Yeah.
Don't have access to that. So I figured, what the fuck, I'll just scat it. I've mentioned, I've mentioned there's a YouTuber named Beth Roars who I've been a fan of for about a year, and she's the one who got me to start learning to sing. She mostly reacts to singers in her, she's a vocal coach, reacts to singers in her videos, but she also gives a lot of great singing tips. And she listened to the album on Monday and she gave me two notes. She loved the melody of Forgotten Friend and she loved the concept of this one.
Yeah, you were free here, and you definitely seemed the most comfortable with your singing voice on this one.
I just kind of went for it. It was
yeah.
I had finished. Used to be I was basically done with the album. It was going to be a six song EP at that point. There were 2 vocal songs and 3 instrumentals I cut. The 2 vocal songs that I wrote specifically for the album early on when I decided to make an album. I just decided weren't up to par.
Okay.
And the 3 instrumentals, I still love them, but they kind of felt like interludes.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't have served the flow of the album. So I cut them and they were going to be a pain in the ass to record. This one I was kind of on the fence about. I had done a YouTube version, a live version back in the fall when I wrote it. But I felt like my vocal was a little too hesitant. I finish used to be, I'm like, the album is effectively done. I can do a six song EP. Let me just take a run at Words Cannot Express. And I think that freedom of like, if it works, cool. If it doesn't, whatever, allowed me to just belt it.
It comes through and you needed a denouement.
Yeah, and it's kind of like this was always going to be the last track if it made it to the album. And last week I talked about the last song on the Blur album being the closing credits. To me, this was the closing credits.
Yeah.
There was going to be a very short instrumental at the beginning that was going to kind of be the opening credits, and this was the closing. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. But this is the first proper feedback I've had on it. So,
Oh, wow. We're doing it recorded.
the only other feedback, that brief tweet from Beth Roars, where she complimented me on the two things, and I'd put up a teaser of pieces early on when I was first working on it, and someone complimented me on the melody. As I've been more comfortable singing, I've found that I've become a much more melodic songwriter. Incidentally, I'm already writing the next one.
All right.
I've one song down. I wrote it in 2 days, which is a record since I've gotten back into vocal songwriting. Should mention, the first song of this batch I wrote was Beneath the Surface last, I think, October. First vocal song that I'd written in like 15 years.
Oh, wow.
I'd written a lot of instrumental stuff, but I hadn't written a song with lyrics in like 15 years. I wrote this new one, Maelstrom, in 2 days since Beneath the Surface, an absolute record, t start to finish in 2 days. And continuing the form of writing about my mental health issues, it's about OCD.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a rockabilly thing. The debate, actually, I'll ask you this question. The
Sure.
debate I'm having now, should I save up for another album or just release? I don't want to say singles because they're not intended to be commercial, but just individual songs as I go.
Well, it is the irony of us doing this show where we're reviewing albums and really taking seriously,
The art of the
the art
album.
of the album.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a dying thing at the same time.
So this one, I'm debating. It's done, but I don't. I have to practice it a lot because it's kind of a very up-tempo kind of rockabilly thing. Kind of pseudo rockabilly.
Well, it's rockabilly on the ukulele, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's all I do.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's got me recording again. I don't want to fuck with. I love playing bass, but it's heavy and it's a pain in the ass to plug it into my computer.
Yeah.
And I don't program drums well.
Okay.
So, if just vocal and ukulele, it works. I'm really good at chucking, which is that percussive thing you hear on the where a snare would be.
Well, right, that's the cool thing about the ukulele is you get that little percussive
It's a
sound.
very percussive instrument, which is why
Yeah.
one of the reasons it works for me. Like I said before, I've gotten more melodic, but rhythm has always been my strong suit as a musician. So, chucking came easy. I put those where a snare hit would be, and I think it fleshes out the arrangement. I think maybe it takes one or two songs to tune your ears, but then you don't really miss the band.
Right.
It's a full enough arrangement. Anyway, this has been very interesting. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there's a link in the show notes to the album on Bandcamp. I just appreciate it if you go listen, and if you buy, all the better.
I was going to say, you just need to do the Andrew Dice Clay of buy my album.
It feels weird to do that. I honestly just want it heard. So, please go check it out. If you listen to this, you're at least interested. Anyway, that's it. Until next time, talk to you later.
All right, there you are.